Trailblazers fall to the Brooklyn Nets last night, 132-114, a game that we said, hey, this is going to have implications moving forward. Both teams with 13 wins heading into the night. Now, the Blazers hold an advantage as it pertains to lottery balls. 13-26.
Fall is a generous term you use there.
Yeah, okay.
Fall to the Nets.
Face planted. Against the Nets, 132-114. That 40-point first quarter that they allowed really kind of set the stage for what kind of game that was going to be.
Holy crap.
But there was a bright spot. Scoot Henderson, he found his three-point shot. That road trip, he was like, hey, guess what? I can shoot. And 8 of 10 from beyond the arc for Scoot.
I mean, it was bonkers. He starts 6 of 6 from 3. And the sixth one, I think it was fifth or sixth, he just rattled in and it hit every single part of the rim. But he hits his first couple, and I was like, all right. I mean, well, he starts the game off first. His first bucket is a putback dunk. Second bucket is a three, and then it's another putback, but off the rim. And I was like, oh, okay. It's going to be a nice little Scoot game.
I also like the 6 assists, though, too. Mm-hmm. You know, not all of them are created equal. You get pummeled like that. My question as I was watching that game kind of play out, I mentioned 40-point first quarter, mm-hmm. right? And that was like the tone setter that this isn't going to be a game where there's a lot of structure in it. And we talked about this last week when you brought up the Mike Richmond quote that mm-hmm. Scoot gave him, where he plays better without structure mm-hmm. and he can just kind of, for lack of a better term, street ball.
Yeah, freelance it. Yeah. AAU.
That kind of felt like what we were watching mm-hmm. right there. And that's where I have hesitations for Scoot unlocking something is that game went sideways immediately for the Blazers. And at that point, that's where he can kind of play his game and be more effective and comfortable.
And it's a high possession game. You get one team gets up 90 shots, the other one gets up 86, and that includes 18 free throws from the Nets and 24 free throws from the Blazers. That is a lot of possessions.
Okay? Game took forever.
Yeah, I mean, it was that, and I mean, they get up and down the floor. Like, Jordy Fernandez wants that Nets team to play fast. They want a lot of possessions, which it seems kind of counterintuitive to for bad teams. Bad teams typically want to limit the possessions, but you know, there's some viability out of them. So the Blazers finish with 97 shooting possessions, and the Nets with 95. That's about 10 more than usual.
Jeez.
So on each side, so 20 more total possessions in a given game. But and first of all, give Scoot the credit. He is like the thing that not just me, but I think people in the NBA have said is where is the game? Mm-hmm. Donovan Clingan had it in like game 12 or 13. Shaden Sharpe had it in like game 10 of his rookie year.
We're creeping up on 100 for Scoot?
Yeah, he's at 95? 94, 95, right around there. He's getting close to 100. I'm working on a 100-game write-up on him, where he's at or where he's been and what he's kind of done over his first 100 games.
You have to rewrite that?
No, I don't think so. You know, although it did bring his shooting percentage up from 3 points. So that's what going 8 of 10 will do for you.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. But give him his credit. It was nice to see him do this. It was great to finally see him have this kind of a game. The thing is, like, how much of that was, number one, the opponent? Number two, how much of it was, like, this wasn't the, I think I'd rather see him have, like, a 27-point, 12 assist, 7 rebound kind of, you know what I mean? Like, have the more complete game, because the shooting, that's been the, you know, the biggest like question mark as far as like, okay, how is he effective? But how much of that is, you know, get hot in a given night, and how much of this is like, hey, maybe he can turn a corner as a shooter. I'll tell you this though, outside of Tamani Kamara, he didn't have any help last night. I mean, Ant had a rough game.
Well, we need to talk about DeAndre Ayton.
Well, I was going to say Ant had a rough game, so he didn't get much from him. Shaden was checked out defensively in the first half, and then DeAndre Ayton was not there mentally. Physically he was there. Every other way, he was not.
There were multiple possessions multiple possessions. And we do need to acknowledge the tempo and pace of that game, not conducive to a big.
No, right? But it should be conducive for DeAndre Ayton because he is a guy who can run up and down the floor.
There were multiple possessions where he did not cross the free throw line on either end of the floor. He played between the free throw lines and just and it wasn't as if the ball wasn't getting down there. He just wasn't getting, he wasn't crossing the free throw line. And that is indicative of an effort thing. And it looked like, it honestly, to be quite frank, DeAndre Ayton looked like a guy who didn't give a rip about that game. And that's a concern because one thing that we know from DeAndre Ayton's time in Phoenix, mm-hmm. we've seen it in small spurts here in Portland, is that when he gets in that mode, it ain't a one-off.
No, and it wasn't like Chauncey Billups could just go to Donovan Clingan, because Donovan Clingan gets his forehead busted open, shows he's a hockey guy, comes back all stitched up. He's got a gash and a half.
How many did he get in there?
I don't know. It looked like three when I looked, but I couldn't really tell because I had to bolt for the postgame show. But then he goes down with the ankle injury, and we're still waiting to hear.
That's not good.
And every time I get a notification on my wrist right now, I'm like, is that it? Is that it? Is that it?
That's not a good sign.
No, it's not right now. But as it pertains to DeAndre Ayton, Channing Frye chimed in last night on Twitter. I'm watching the Blazer game, and it's gross. Watching a certain player absolutely bleep off his minutes is unreal. Please stop playing this person, Trailblazers. It's not, okay, there's a
that's the NBA thing, not naming names, right?
Yeah,
there.
But also there's some context clues. Where did Channing Frye play college basketball?
Arizona.
Where did DeAndre Ayton play college basketball?
Arizona.
Okay. And you'd be like, well, what about the Brotherhood? Well, one of them is a Lute Olson disciple, and the other one's a Sean Miller disciple. It's like being a Hubert Davis guy and a Dean Smith guy. It's like, yeah, it's the same school, but it's different. You know what I mean? Like, there's a, like, Channing's not going to do this to Gilbert Arenas. Because Gil's his kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And look, Gil has been incredibly lazy in games. That man made the most out-of-pocket player in modern NBA history. And
there's nothing to dispute in that. You are correct, sir.
So, and look, I love Gil, but he's insane. But, I mean, Channing was not mincing words other than not saying the name.
But we all knew who he was talking about.
And this is, I had a bunch of texts about this. It's like, oh, this is, you know, this is an old head mad because, you know, DeAndre Ayton has made more on his one contract than Channing Frye made in his whole career. Yes, that's part of it. Like, and that is like, I talked about this on the postgame last night. I think there is a real problem with younger players in the NBA getting obscene amounts of money. And I think that does feed into DeAndre Ayton to an extent and others. I think it feeds into Ja Morant and Zion Williamson and Ant Edwards and those guys who keep screwing up left, right, and center. Because when you have $100+ million right out of the gate, who's going to tell you anything?
Yeah, I think this has always been the problem, though, in all of the professional sports is that you have these guys. But is it? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is getting bigger because you can look up and down first-round draft classes and you can say, boy, didn't work out. And there's only a handful. Now, we'll have certain draft classes where you can cherry-pick and you can go, see, that draft class was great. But it's also like wired differently.
Yeah, that's the thing. Right? I was talking to a bunch of scouts were in town. Probably, I'm guessing, to see Cam Johnson, the pro personnel guys, and talking draft with them. And I said, "What's the single biggest thing that you're looking for in the draft now? And young guys coming in, they're like, it's mental. It's all mental. The tools are there. The kids are more talented than they've ever been. Like that's without argument." But they're trying to weed these guys out mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, like all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
More so, like, and it's not just like how smart are they? It's how smart are they on the court? How mature are they off the court?
Yeah,
like those are the two, like the intrinsic things. Like you're either wired that way or you're not. More and more teams that I've talked to are less inclined to take the more recent one, the Deontay Johnson in the NFL.
Sure.
Talent's overwhelming. It's like a lot. Like it's why you're not seeing teams take on Ben Simmons or Zion Williamson because they're just like, no. And that was the thing. This is the total derail. Watching Ben Simmons play basketball last night, I was reminded about he's the one of the five best passers in the NBA, and it's not close. He had 8-9 passes that would have been one of the three best passes of multiple Trailblazers' careers, and it was ho-hum. And it was just the most basic, simple, like, he made it look effortless, and I'm just like...
But that's his body and the mentals right there, both of them.
And you're just like, and that, I mean, I had somebody else talk to me about DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton is the most gifted physically... Mm-hmm. Big, probably in the league, not named Nikola Jokic. He is 7 foot tall. He is 270 pounds. He moves better at that size than anybody else in the league. And it's not close. And with the size and the weight, he has maybe the best touch in the league other than Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
He's one of the probably four or five best defensive rebounders in the league. And yet, he just tricks it all off because... Of what? And look, you don't know what's going on in his personal life, and I'm not making excuses for him, but it's like, this isn't the first time, man.
No, it's not. It's not the second or the third time that this has happened. But like, if you just go back to DeAndre Ayton's draft class, as we were talking about, like, there's guys in there that they got handed the big contracts to, and we don't have the same issues, right? I think this is an individual basis, because top five picks were DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley the third, but then Luka Doncic, don't have that issue with him. Jaren Jackson Jr., don't have that issue with him. Trae Young, which you have that issue, but he still plays at a really high level. So, I mean, that's not really the big issue. That's your top five right there.
God, Kings.
And then, yeah, right? Well,
four whole NBA guys and Marvin Bagley.
And Marvin Bagley. But then also guys that seemingly head on their shoulders aren't running into this issue. Mm-hmm. Colin Sexton is head on his shoulders. Okay, skills not
lacks the talent, but like a complete lunatic basketball player.
But was a top 10 pick, and that's not a money got to him and all that. SGA was the 11th overall pick in that.
Yeah, he's the one who slides in there.
He is pretty dang good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have the Bridges brothers in there. They got their issues. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, Jalen Brunson was a second-round pick in that draft. But he just got paid. Nobody's going to criticize Jalen Brunson for getting money in rolling over. In fact, the dude took less money, right?
Yeah.
So
a little bit different.
I think that we have these guys, right, that you're not wrong. Mm-hmm. There is a percentage of these guys where they get that money. That's all they wanted to do, right? Get the bag.
Andrew Wiggins did it, you know, got his money and then... Said, I'm good.
Yeah. Said, this is what I worked for. This is what I wanted. I wanted to change my life. That comes down to the draft evaluation. The getting the mentals is the most important part. And if there's one thing that...
It's so rare.
...solid franchises do continually, is that part of their evaluation, they knock out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Does the guy have it between the ears to thrive? And where you see the teams like the Rams right now,
yes, right? 100%.
The Rams are a really good example of this. The 49ers are a great example of this. The Patriots, when they were actually good, they did this, and a big part of it was everybody's like, well, where do they find these guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth round? It was the mental part. They're like, physically, a lot of these guys can all make it, but where do they separate themselves? It's between the ears. And in the NFL, that's where you get your late round guys, your Puka Nacuas, or Julian Edelmans, right? But in basketball, it's really hard to do because you get such a small sample size. Mm-hmm. Because in college, these coaches, they don't know them very well either.
No, and that's where, you know, it's a belabor this point. It's where a guy like Cooper Flagg, who's a complete psychopath in the best possible ways, stands out so much. When it gets time, I'll tell a story that came from out of Hoop Summit last year that was the thing that locked me in on him just because it was so insane. But... It stands out. Like, you just see stuff that is different. Like, it's not just the talent with him. Like, I have never been more certain of a player's success professionally than I am of him. I don't even think it's any kind of hot take. It's just when you've been around guys and you talk to enough guys and I've talked to other veteran players, all-star players that have played with him. And that they're going to be like first ballot Hall of Famers. And they have all said some version of he's different. And like, that's what you're looking for as an organization. Yep. And it's a bummer that that's not in an or a part of DeAndre Ayton's DNA.
As his texter on the Vancouver Forward text line, they nailed it. Marshawn Lynch got it right.
Take care of y'all chicken. You feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chicken and your mentals.
Mm-hmm. You and Marshawn was a guy who figured it out.
Yeah.
He wasn't a guy who had it figured out, and then he did.
Yeah, and that's kind of where the DeAndre Ayton thing was. Also, get him out of Phoenix.
That was
see if that changes. He went to high school in Phoenix. He went to college at Arizona. Mm-hmm. He got drafted number one overall by the Suns. Get him out of Arizona. See if something changes. Right now, it's not looking like anything.
You were swapping one problem, Yusuf Nurkic, who is degrading both physically and mentally as far as like his time here in Portland. And you thought, hey, DeAndre's the better talent. And even though he's crazy, like we know his production likely is higher. Hmm. And the insane thing is, his production, even as bad as it has been more recently, is still better than Nurk's because Nurk has been benched.